Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the second week of church in this new reality. It is different, and I have to be honest, as your pastor, it's driving me a little crazy. If you're like me, I need structure. I need order. I like to plan. I like to know where we are going. And all we've done for the last few weeks is have no plan. Now, when I say I like to plan, I actually find planning relaxing. I know some of you are very confused by that, but I do. I love to plan. When we have trips for our family, one of my favorite things to do, the way I will relax at night, is I will actually sit down and investigate where we're going to go, learn about it, study about it, plan out the itinerary. It turns my brain off. I love it. And I've always been this way. I've always loved to plan. I've always been a planner. Even when I was a little kid, I was a planner. When I was in high school, as a senior, I knew that I was going to go into a full-time Christian ministry. I felt like God had called me into that, and I immediately developed a plan. I knew I needed a college degree. I, at the time, knew I needed a seminary degree, and I knew I needed a wife, and not particularly in that order, but I knew those were the things I needed, and so I immediately began planning to make those things happen. I went to the University of South Carolina, got my undergrad degree. As I was graduating, I was looking forward to moving. I knew I was going to go to a seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and I knew most of the people there had wives. And so in my plan, it was time to get married. I was dating a young lady at the time, and I was like, hey, I'll marry her. And so I decided to propose to her because it was part of the plan. It was just time for it to happen. Now, what I didn't realize at the time is there were so many red flags, and it was such a bad idea, but I couldn't see it because it was time, because the plan was it was time to be executed. And so the red flag started from the very beginning. On my way to propose, I realized I hadn't planned a proposal, which again, for someone who loves to plan, should have been a big flashing red sign to stop, but I did not push forward. I hit a knee. When I looked up from hitting the knee, the look on her face could best be described as abject horror, but she still said yes. I still don't know why. We tried to plan the wedding for about 2 months. Eventually, she called it off, and I'll never forget what she said. She gave me the ring back, and she said, I'm sorry, I ruined your plan. And Wellspring, I was devastated. But truthfully, I don't know if I was more devastated by the fact that she said no or by the fact that my plan didn't work. But either way, I went into a pretty mild depression. I drove my friends and family crazy, and I just couldn't believe that God would let this happen to me. I was upset. I was in a pit. I didn't see any way out. My plan had failed. I thought my life was over. Until one day at church, I met a young lady named Danny Teal. And Danielle became my wife. And suddenly everything got better. Suddenly everything made sense. And as I look back and I tell that story, and you have stories like this in your life as well, we can look back and we're like, oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen. I'm so glad this. I'm so glad. Oh, we're so lucky. And the reason we can look back and tell that story is because in looking back, we gain the one thing we miss when we find ourselves in pain, we find ourselves in pits. And that one thing is perspective. In looking back, we have perspective. Oh, I see what was going on there. I see what God was doing. I'm so glad that that happened. But what I want to talk about today is what if we could actually have perspective, not retroactively, not after the pain. What if we could have perspective in the moment? What if we could have perspective in the pits of life? Wouldn't that be better? And that's what I want us to talk about today. today as we continue our series, Now What? If it's your very first week, man, I'd really encourage you, if you haven't already, download our app because you can go back and can kind of catch up where we've been over the last few weeks. Because here's what we're asking in this series. We're asking a question: what do we do when we don't know what's next? What do we do when we find ourselves in times of struggle? What do we do when things don't work out? And the reason we're talking about this is because there's a promise of God that we've been studying all semester long, and it's this: we know that better is possible, even in tough moments, even in pits, even in pain, better is possible. And the reason we know this is because God told us so in this verse. He says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, we know this. This means that no matter what happens to us in life, if we trust God, if we lean in, he can turn it to good. And to figure out how this works in our lives, to better understand it, we've been studying a man named Joseph. A man named Joseph who found himself in many pits, in many problems. He leaned into God and God got him through, because we know that for us, sometimes the easiest way to understand something is to see it play out in someone else's life. And so we've been studying Joseph's life. His brothers sold him into slavery. Last week, we saw him bought by a man named Potiphar. We saw God take care of Joseph. We saw God raise him up to be put in charge of Potiphar's house. And here's what we learned last week to give us some hope in the pit. We learned that our God will not leave the pit without us. He was with Joseph in that moment. He was with Joseph as Joseph rose to be in charge of Potiphar's household. He was with Joseph last week when he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife. If you remember that, he was betrayed and Potiphar's wife made advances on him. He said no. She got embarrassed, and so she accused him of attacking her. And here's where we left Joseph last week. Potiphar gets upset and he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. Joseph gets taken back to a pit. But remember, we learned our God won't leave the pit without us. And here's what we're told in the very next verse. Watch this. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison, and he showed him his faithful love. He was with Joseph in that moment. And last week we learned how Joseph knew he was with him. He got it. Because he could look back and see what God had done before. We kind of ended last week on this idea, on this truth from God. And it says, the best way to recognize God's promise in the present is to remember his provision in the past. The best way to recognize what God's doing here and now is to look back at what God's done before. And that's what Joseph was doing. And to me today, I believe that is the key for us as we seek to gain perspective in the pit. See, these are lessons we can learn from Joseph's life, because just as Joseph looked back, we can look back. We can look back and see what God did before. And in identifying what God's done before, we can begin to recognize what he might be doing right now. Now, to help you understand what I mean by that, I want us to continue Joseph's story. I want us to continue to follow him and to follow what happens with him in the prison. Because as we see what happens in the prison, we're going to recognize some things. And there are some things that we can apply to our lives here and now. So let's get started. So as we already know, the Lord was with Joseph in the prison, and he showed him his faithful love. He was with him in the first pit. He was with him in Potiphar's house. He's with him in prison. Let's keep reading. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Notice a pattern here. Joseph gets favor with Potiphar, and now Joseph has favor with the prison warden. Let's keep going. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. Again, Joseph is raised up. Joseph is elevated. The exact same thing has happened twice in Joseph's life. When given to Potiphar, when sold to Potiphar, he rises. In prison, he rises. You see, what we can do is, as we see this and we identify this in Joseph's life, I believe it's revealing to us the key to gaining perspective in the pits of life, the key to gaining perspective in the pain. If we can just simply remember, if God can bring to our mind this one concept, I believe it will make the pits less painful and will allow us to step more forward and into the future God has planned for us. for us. And this is what we're going to talk about today. In the pit, look for the pattern. In the pit, in the pain, in the uncertain circumstance, step back and look. What might God be doing? And the best way to know what God might be doing now is to look back and see what he's done before. What he's done in your life, what he's done in your friends' lives, what he's done in your family's lives, what he's done in the life of Joseph. It's while we're reading this story. And as I look back on my life and as I look through scripture, I have identified three specific patterns, three specific things, not always not universal, but generally of what God might be up to when we're in pits. The first thing I've identified is protection. Sometimes when we're in a pit, God is protecting us. That's my story. My story is my gracious, loving, heavenly Father protected me from myself. He protected me from making a mistake, from moving too fast, from thinking my plan was the best. He protected me from missing out on the greatest human being I've ever known in my life, my wife, Danielle. He protected me from that. And you probably have some stories like that in your own life. You can look back now on those missed opportunities, those missed moments, the job you didn't get, the house that didn't close. And at the time, you were so distraught, you were so defeated. But you look back now and you say, phew. Man, I'm glad that didn't work out because you know the rest of the story. You know what happens. So what would happen if in the middle of the pit, we just began wondering, what if God's protecting me from something right now? He was definitely protecting Joseph. Definitely protecting Joseph because if Joseph had been left in the situation with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, without a doubt, Potiphar's wife would have continued to make advances. Without a doubt, Potiphar would have eventually found out. Potiphar would have possibly caught them. And if Potiphar had caught them, what would have happened to Joseph would have been a lot worse than falling and being put into prison. And so Joseph was protected through this pit. Sometimes that's what God is doing to us. But there's a couple other things we're going to learn today. Sometimes in the pit, God is positioning us. Sometimes he is getting us in place for what he has next that we don't see coming. And sometimes, as we're going to see through Joseph's life today, in the pit is where he begins to develop and prepare us for our purpose. It's where he actually uses the gifts and the strengths and the skills and the talents to develop us and sometimes even to help other people. Now, what I mean by that is, so in this story, we now are going to bring in some new characters because some things change. Joseph is running the prison, and we're told this. We're told that sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. These two men worked closely for Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt, and all we know is they offended him. They said something, he gets upset, and so he throws them into prison. The chief cupbearer would have been one of Pharaoh's closest advisors. The chief baker was one of his cooks, and they did something. We don't know what, but we know that they are thrown into prison. And here's what we're told. We're told that while they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. Okay, so we know this. They're in prison and they have these dreams, okay? And so they wake up the next morning and they're thinking about these dreams. They don't know what's happening. They're terrified because they're in prison. They don't know what's about to happen to them. And then this happens. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. And so he asked them, "Why do you look so worried today?" Now, this blows me away. About Joseph. Joseph is living in a foreign land, sold into slavery by his brothers, betrayed, left for dead, rises the ranks in Potiphar's house where he's betrayed yet again. Now he finds himself in an Egyptian prison. If anybody had reason to feel sorry for themselves, to go insular, to not care about the world around them, it was Joseph. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in times where things are so bad, we feel like we're going through struggles and pain that we sort of just block out the world. We kind of forget what else is going on, but not Joseph. Joseph is so aware of other people and so in tune with them that two other prisoners are having a bad morning, and he notices, and he leans in, and he says, "Hey, what's wrong? What's going on with you today?" And we look at that and we say, how could you do that? And it's because Joseph had perspective. Joseph was able to step out of the pit and say, okay, something bigger and better is actually happening. And it's because Joseph understood what we've been talking about. He understood that in the pit, look for the pattern. And that's what he did. He was looking for the pattern. He knew he had been protected. He knew he was in a dangerous situation. He didn't know it at the time, but he was being positioned. He was being positioned for something. And he knew that in that moment, the best thing that he could do was to play his purpose and to possibly even step into someone else's pain, to step into someone else's pit. And you may look back and say, who would do that? Who would step into someone else's pain? Who would step into someone else's moment? Why would we do that? There's really two answers. One is because pits are lonely. You know that. Pain's lonely. And sometimes all we need in the pit is a trusted friend to walk with us. Joseph understood that. But he also understood, hey, maybe there's purpose in this pit. Maybe there's some things I've learned in this moment that I can share with someone else. For example, several years ago, a young man who attended our church asked me if we could go have coffee, I believe it was. And he was heartbroken because he had just called off an engagement with a young lady he was in love with, and he was just broken, and he saw pain, he saw a pit, I saw a pattern. I said, hey man, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but let me tell you my story. And I shared with him about my experience of what had happened, and I'm not going to say he walked out of there completely better, but he gained a healthy perspective, and he was able to kind of look forward. I'm happy to report now he is happily married. And he now looks back on it as well as, okay, I see that God was doing that. But it took someone being willing to step in and say, okay, hey, look, let me share with you what happened in my life. Let me share you what I've learned from this. That's how we find purpose in the pit. And that's exactly what Joseph does. And so let's keep reading. So they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. And here's Joseph's response. He says, interpreting dreams is God's business. So go ahead, tell me your dreams. Tell me what's wrong. And very long story short, this is what happened. The chief cupbearer tells him his dream. And Joseph says, I got great news. That dream means Pharaoh's going to forgive you. In 3 days, you're going to get out and life's going to go back to normal. And the chief cupbearer is like, yes, that's a great dream. The baker goes next, hoping for the same thing. His dream was not as good. His dream meant that in 3 days, Pharaoh was going to have him executed. Now, before you go blaming Joseph, he did not write these dreams. He just interpreted them. He just told him what was going to happen. And for the chief cupbearer, he was able in that moment to speak in, and he was able to provide some peace. He was able to provide some comfort. He was able to say, I know you're worried. I know you're scared. I know this seems like the worst thing that's ever happened, but you have to understand, God just told you something. God just made you a promise, and I can see it because I've lived it, because I've experienced it. And so Joseph stepped into that moment with the chief cupbearer, and he says, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. And the reason he didn't worry is because Joseph knew that in the pit, you look for the pattern. And he saw the pattern and he stepped into the moment. So the question for us today, the question for us as we live in this time of uncertainty, as we live in this period of could be, feels like eternal pit, how do we gain perspective? How do we get to the part where we can look back and tell the story fondly even as we live it? In the pit, we look for the pattern. So here's my question for you today. Think about the current pits that you are experiencing. And as you do you believe God is protecting you? Can you see his protection from something? Is it possible that he's removing a relationship from your life? Is it possible that he's getting you out of a situation? I know for Danielle and I, we are always talking about God's protection. It's a thing we talk about all the time. And when we lose relationships, we've had people get upset with us. We've had people, leave our church. We've had people that we were friends with, we aren't friends with anymore. And we just have to tell ourselves, if we did something wrong, we go apologize. We try to amend it. But if not, we just say, you know what? All right, that was God protecting us. And we don't understand it, but we trust our God and we trust his protection. There's been several times we've tried to move, not from Myrtle Beach, but to different houses. And we've made offers on houses. We've had contracts on houses. And then they'll fall through. And we just look at each other and we say, all right, that's God's protection. We don't understand it. We don't know what he's doing, but we trust because we've seen it so much in the past. We trust that even in that moment of disappointment, and we've been disappointed, man, we've been sad. We've cried over some of the losses in our life, but we just say, you know what? We trust that God is protecting us from this. So what might God be protecting you from in this pit? Or what might God be positioning you for? What might he be moving you into place? Think about it. Some of you ended up moving to Myrtle Beach because of a pit. A pit brought you here. Something happened. You were fleeing something. And it wasn't of your control. And God didn't cause it. But he used it to reposition you, to reposition your life. Possibly to discover your spouse, to discover a better life, to discover our church. Some of you discovered God that way. And so in the current pits you're in now, begin to look, all right, God, are you positioning me for something? Are you trying to get me ready for something? And then even for some of us, what God might be doing in our current pit is giving us purpose, is giving us meaning, is giving us the ability to give back and to help other people. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but think about it for a second. What lessons have you learned from your previous pits? And is there anybody in your life right now who might could benefit from those lessons? Lessons you've learned from failure, from betrayal. Lessons you've learned from overcoming addictions. Lessons you've learned from persevering through heartbreak. Is there anyone in your life right now going through something similar that might could benefit from your knowledge? And I know it feels impossible because we want to say, man, I've got so much going on right now. I've got my own stuff. It's heavy on me. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the ability to step into someone else's pain right now. And I understand that. I really do. And you know what? On one level, you're right. You don't. But remember what we learned last week? We don't do this alone. Our God won't leave the pit without us. And it's possible that he's positioned you in this moment and he's prepared you in this moment to play a role in the life of someone else. Because see, that's exactly what he did for Joseph. And here's what we learned from Joseph's life. It wasn't until Joseph stepped into that purpose that God was able to position him for something better. Let me show you what I mean as we wrap up. So, Joseph talks to the chief cupbearer. As the chief cupbearer is about to get out, he says, hey, please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. This is the first time Joseph has asked for anything in any of our stories with Joseph. But he understands the chief cupbearer is a powerful man. He is an influential man. And so Joseph says, hey, could you please mention to your boss, I'm in here. I've done nothing wrong. I was sold into slavery. It'd be really great to get out. And Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, he's like, man, I got you. I'm going to talk about you. I'm getting you out next week. I got your back. You're my dog, Joe. I got you. And then here's what happened. The Pharaoh's chief cupbearer forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Can you believe it? All at work. Joseph puts himself out there. Joseph steps into this man's moment. Joseph helps him. And the guy says, I got you. I'm going to help you. and then he forgets all about him. So unfortunately, yet again, we leave Joseph in a pit. But here's what I know, and here's what I want you to know. Our God didn't forget about him. And there was a pattern in that pit. Joseph was positioned in that pit. Joseph did have a purpose in that pit, because watch what happens next. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. And who do you think Pharaoh was going to talk to about that dream? His closest advisor, the chief cupbearer. And what do you think's going to happen when that chief cupbearer hears that Pharaoh's had a dream he can't understand? He's going to remember, there's this guy in prison. And Pharaoh, you should meet him. And here's what I don't want you to miss, guys. None of this happens in Joseph's life if he doesn't have perspective. None of this happens in Joseph's life if he wallows in the pit. None of this happens in Joseph's life if he just feels sorry for himself and defeated in the pit. This happens because even in the pit, he was willing to play a role. Even in the pit, he was willing to step into his purpose. And in that pit, God positioned him for the most important conversation he will ever have in his life. And that is where we will pick up next week. For today, just an encouragement. We can find perspective in the pit. And it's simple. Here's what we do. In the pit, look for the pattern. Is God protecting me? Is he positioning me? Is he preparing me for a purpose? Look back on the lessons you've learned before and ask God to help you apply them here and now. And to help us all understand this a little clearer, we've actually asked one of our own to share her story about a pit in her life, about some pain, and about the patterns she's discovered and the purpose that came from it. Check it out.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
I'm ready. Ready as I'm ever going to be. My name is Stacy Goodman. God really allowed something tragic to happen to our family, and then he brought so much blessing out of it. I had self-diagnosed myself through WebMD, which you probably shouldn't do, with gallbladder symptoms, and I was having a lot of pain in my side, and I would go to emergency rooms and they would tell me I would be okay. It was probably acid reflux, things like that. I decided that I was going to try to reverse the symptoms and do things, you know, little, clean, like drink apple cider vinegar and weird things, cut out red meat, cut out corn, just crazy things. And it worked temporarily until we decided to go to Disney World for a family vacation. It was one of our last days at Disney World. We were at Animal Kingdom. I will never forget it. And I was watching the Finding Nemo show with Sully while my husband and my oldest went to go ride big kid rides. And I just had the most excruciating pains on my side. And they weren't like they had typically been. I had horrible pain. I kept feeling like I was gonna pass out. I had to go back and forth to the bathroom because I was just not okay. That night, I did not sleep. I tried to get the pain to go away. The next morning, we had decided to go ahead and leave because Hurricane Irma was coming and Disney was shutting down anyway. So we cut our trip short. We drove through, just straight through, and I was hunkered back in the back of the minivan in the very back, just tried to sleep and take medication to get it to go away. It did not go away the whole time. And when we got to our home, I didn't say goodbye to my kids, and my husband dropped them off with my mom, and we went straight to the ER. The emergency room knew immediately there was something wrong. You could tell that it wasn't like the previous emergency room visits. They admitted me very quickly. I was going to have a surgery to have my gallbladder removed. finally. And that surgery went semi-well. The next surgery was because they did not get a stone that was headed towards the liver or close to the liver, but they had to go back in to get that stone. That surgery was not as successful because there was a hole that was punctured in my intestines. The third surgery was they had to repair that hole. So that surgery was to repair the hole to try to stop the drainage that was happening from the hole that was poked in my intestines. I had tubes on the side of me. I had drainage bags from where the intestines were, fluid was leaking. As fast as they could empty the bag that was draining from the side of me, within 30 seconds, it was filling back up. So they made the decision to send me to MUSC. From that point, I was in ICU. I know that they told us we had about I had about a 10% chance survival rate. I had a tube down my throat for a good while, couldn't eat, couldn't drink. And then I had tubes all over I had about four bags on the right side of my body with trying to stop the leakage that was happening. I remember that the doctors, especially the one doctor I had, my main doctor, who is still my doctor, just kept telling me over and over again how lucky I was. That if I wasn't as young and as healthy as I was, then I wouldn't have made it. I remember him saying over and over again, even the nurse's assistants that I got pretty close to would tell me how lucky I was. And I knew it wasn't just luck. I am lucky to be here, but only because I have a good God. After I got out of the hospital, it kind of went downhill from there. I was struggling hardcore. I was on medication, a lot of medication. I came home with two tubes. They removed two, and then I came home with still two tubes in the side of me. So I was confined, you know, obviously to bed rest and to the bed, which is hard when you have a one-year-old who just wants to sit on your lap all the time, and you have a four-year-old that wants to play. So it was hard. I came home and I couldn't get any part of me comfortable. I couldn't get myself physically comfortable. I couldn't get myself emotionally comfortable. I couldn't get myself spiritually comfortable. I just couldn't understand why this was being allowed. The main thing I think God was showing me is that if my circumstances aren't what I want them to be, it doesn't change who His character is. When I start to see that God is working and that things start to look a little more hopeful, it just feels like God was allowing things for certain reasons. God was allowing things to happen so I would know that the things of Him aren't what I should be praising. I should just be praising Him. I think I just wanted God to take it. Like when I was in everything that I was in and I felt alone, even though I really wasn't, I had a community that was pouring love into me. But I just wanted God to take it. I wanted Him to heal it immediately. I wanted Him to put normalcy back into my life. I wanted Him to change my circumstances. When He was saying, I just want you, and I want you to just want me. I think I have developed now an unshakable faith. I know that there's a purpose, and I know that the purpose is good, even if the circumstances aren't good. Worship played a huge part in healing for me, because with my vision, I don't know if it was medication or from surgeries, but for a good while, I did not have very great vision. I couldn't look at my phone, words jumbled together. I couldn't read scripture. A lot of times I would just play worship music over and over again because it was truth. Like the scripture was coming through in song. And there was a song that I just played it on repeat, and we had done it for years, I felt like, at Wellspring, and it was Broken Vessels. And in the song, it talks about broken pieces, broken and scattered, and then it talks about how you're empty-handed, but you're not forsaken. I think that I would say to people that are in a pit right now, your pit is valid. You can break through this, but also you need to be really real about what you're going through. I would say don't front it, don't act like everything's okay if it's not. I would say that God does most certainly have a purpose for it, even if that purpose is just for you to be with Him. Because my relationship with Him is so much stronger and so much deeper. And honestly, I thought I had a very good relationship with Him prior. So I would say hold on and just cling close to Jesus and cling close to His Word and cling close to what He is teaching you, because there is some kind of joy coming at the end of it. There is some kind of victory coming at the end of it. And if you really allow Him to work through your heart and your life in those seasons and in those pits and in those struggles, He will, and you'll be better for it.